Let's start by the first rank, and that is the rank of al-ilm. First rank. The rank of al-ilm. Meaning Allah's knowledge. We refer al-ilm, yani referring to Allah's knowledge. Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. Allah knew what had occurred. Please, yani, give attention, inshallah. Try to be sensitive to the wording. Allah knew what had occurred, what will occur, and all that which did not occur. Three things. He knew everything about creation before He created it. He knew, I will repeat them. He knew what had occurred, what will occur, and all that which did not occur. And add to that, whatever He will to occur, how it will occur, and when it will occur. He knew everything about creation before He created it. He knew in His eternal knowledge about His creation, their provisions, their lifespans, their sayings, their moves, their deeds, their secrets, all of their obedient and disobedient acts. Who amongst them will be from the people of Jannah, paradise, and who will be from the people of An-Nar, the fire of hell? إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Verily Allah is the all-knower of everything. Surah Al-Anfal, verse 75. Quran 8:75. Nothing escapes Allah's knowledge. Where is the evidence? Evidence in the saying of Allah in Surah At-Talaq, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا, and that Allah surrounds, comprehends all things in His knowledge. And in Surah Al-An'am, Quran 6:59, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Please comprehend the following verse. With Him are the keys of al-ghayb, all that is hidden. None knows them but He. And He knows whatever there is on the earth and in the sea. Not a leaf falls, but He knows it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record. Allahu Akbar. Allah knows all about what does not happen. Please, think of this. Allah knows all about what does not happen and how it will happen had He willed it to happen. He knew that the kuffar, the disbelievers, on the day of judgment will wish to return to the life of this world so that they may do righteous deeds. Allah, however, knew that وَلَوْرُدُّوا لَعَادُوا إِلَى مَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. Allah knew that if they were returned to the world, they would certainly revert to that which they were forbidden, and indeed they are liars, as is stated in this verse, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 28. But if they were returned to the world, they would certainly revert to that which they were forbidden, and indeed they are liars. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, spoke about the disbelievers, about the kuffar, who don't tolerate listening to his guidance brought to them by the Prophet. He spoke about this. وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. In Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 23. Had Allah known of any good in them, He would have made them listen, and even if He had made them listen, they would but have turned away, averse to the truth. The people of Al-Jannah, of Paradise, and the people of the fire of Hell, are known to Allah. In the hadith reported by Muslim and Al-Bukhari and others, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with a wooden stick in his hand with which he was scratching the ground. He raised his head and said, "There is none of you but has his place assigned either in the fire or in paradise." They, the companions, said, "O Allah's Messenger, why should we carry on doing good deeds? Shall we depend," meaning on the pre-decree of Allah, "and give up work?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "No, but carry on doing good deeds, for everyone will find easy to do such deeds as will lead him to that for which he has been created." Then he recited this verse, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى إِلَى قَوْلِهِ فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى إِلَى قَوْلِهِ فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty, he recited this after their question. He said to them, "Carry on doing good deeds, for everyone will find easy to do such deeds as will lead him to that for which he has been created." Then he recited the following verse, "As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears him and believe in Al-Husna, the truth of Islam and Tawheed, we will make smooth for him the path of ease, the path of goodness." Chapter 92, 5-10. Also in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أولاد المشركين فقال الله أعلم بما كانوا عاملين. ورواه مسلم أيضا. ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked about the children of the mushriks, the children of the mushriks, you know, the polytheists, whereupon he said, Allah alone knows what they would be doing were they to live. Allah alone knows what they would be doing were they to live. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala commented on this hadith and said, Allah knows who amongst them, meaning the children of the mushriks, will be a kafir disbeliever or a mu'min or a believer once they reach their age of puberty. He also said that, and it cannot be ruled that a particular child from the children of the mushriks will be in hell or in paradise. As it is mentioned in many ahadith, on the day of judgment, they will be subjected to trials in which they will be ordered to comply with and abstain from executing certain commands. Those who will obey will enter paradise, and those who disobey will enter the fire of hell. So Allah alone knows well what all born children would have done if they were to live. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no child is born except on fitra, on Islam, on submission to Allah. It is his parents who make him a Jew or a Christian, just as you help the animals give birth to their young ones. Do you find any deficiency in them before you mutilate them, cut their ears after birth yourself? They, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, said, what do you think about him who dies in infancy? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah knows what they would be doing were they to live. In his foreknowledge, there is perfect choice and wisdom. Allah knew that Iblis, Shaitan, the devil, would disobey and that he would not prostrate before Adam as Allah had commanded him. The angels did not know anything about Iblis, about the devil. Allah, the All-Wise, said to the angels, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know that which you do not know. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the great companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, said, Allah knew what they, the angels, did not know about Iblis, about the devil. Also Allah also knew that in the offspring of Adam there will be prophets, messengers, and righteous people. No one knew except him. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And remember, when your Rabb Allah said to the angels, verily I am going to place mankind, generations after generations on earth, they said, will place therein those who will make mischief and shed blood, while we glorify you with praises and thanks, exalted be you from what they associate with you as partners, and sanctify you. He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know that which you don't know. We read in Surah Luqman in chapter 31 verse 34, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Verily Allah, with Him alone is the knowledge of the hour. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ. He sends down the rain. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And knows that which is in the wombs. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. No person knows what he will earn tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And no person knows in what land he will die. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah is all knower, all aware of things. He subhanahu wa ta'ala knew who deserves guidance and who does not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَى سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَى بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Have you seen him who takes his own lust, vain desires as his ilah, as God, and Allah, knowing him as such, left him astray, and sealed his hearing and his heart, and put a cover on his sight? Who then will guide him after Allah? Will you then not remember? Allah knew prior to the creation of such a person that he would be astray, as explained by the majority of the scholars of Islam. Allah left him astray, knowing in his foreknowledge all about his sayings, what suits him, and what he deserves before and after his creation. Allah the Most High knew that he deserves to be left astray, and that he is not worthy of being guided. Allah Most High surely and perfectly put things in their proper and suitable places. This ayah that I recited earlier confirms both the pre-decree as well as the wisdom of Allah. In the same verse, knowledge is emphasized because it is the light that exposes the realities of all matters and places things in their proper places, giving what is good to whomsoever deserves it and withholding it from those who are not worthy of having it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left him astray, knowing that his conditions suit his misguidance and demand it. He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where to place his guidance and success, as he knows well whom to trust with his message. Not everyone is suitable to bear and deliver the message, and not everyone is suitable for accepting and believing it. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ فَتَنَّا بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لِيَقُولُوا أَهَؤُلَاءِ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ. Thus we have tried some of them with others, that they might say, is it these poor believers that Allah has favored from amongst us? Doesn't Allah know best those who are grateful? Had their hearts been grateful, had their hearts been grateful, submitting and loving as the hearts of the poor believers, Allah would have favored them also. But the favors of Allah only suit their proper places, which Allah knew in His foreknowledge. The choice is always linked to His knowledge. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatahu. Allah knows best with whom to place His message. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ سبحان الله وتعالى عما يشركون وربك يعلم ما تكن صدورهم وما يعلنون. And your Rabb Allah creates whatsoever He wills and chooses. No choice have they in any matter. Glorified be Allah and exalted above all that they associate as partners with Him, and your Rabb Allah knows what their breasts conceal and what they reveal. This is 28, 68, 69. Allah states in this ayah that He alone chooses and creates. He does not send the messengers based upon their own choice. He subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses them. وَلَقَدْ اخْتَرْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عَلَىٰ الْعَالَمِينَ. And we have chose them, the children of Israel, above the mankind and jinns during the time of Moses with knowledge. This is in 44:32. There is no dispute that the meaning of this verse that I recited earlier is that Allah chose them knowing that they deserved His choice during the time of Moses. He chose them knowing their affairs and conditions before their creation, before He created them. Similarly, the saying of Allah about Prophet Ibrahim, Abraham, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. And indeed we have bestowed aforetime on Ibrahim his portion of guidance, and we were well acquainted with him as to his belief in Tawheed, etc. This is in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 51. So Ibrahim deserved guidance and prophethood. Allah knew that. He knew he is suitable for that. The same holds true in the saying of Allah about Adam, about Noah, the family of Imran, and the family of Ibrahim. When Allah said about them in chapter 3, verse 33, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضُ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah chose Adam, Noah, the family of Ibrahim, and the family of Imran above mankind and jinns of their times. A similar meaning is related to another saying of Allah, وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاصِفَةً تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا وَكُنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمِينَ. And to Sulaiman, Solomon, we subjected the wind strongly raging, running by his command towards the land which we had blessed, and of everything we are the all-knowers. The all-knowers. The same meaning. So this now covers the first, what? The first rank. And the first rank was? What was the first rank that we talked about? What was the first rank of Al-Qadr? Al-Ilm, knowledge. Knowledge of Allah. Now, you see, now we want to know how the knowledge of Allah and His wisdom are interrelated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and all-wise. He is all-knowing about His choice. He is all-wise about His choice. He is also all-knowing and all-wise about the consequences and the noble aims of His commands and legislation. I will repeat. So Allah is all-knowing and all-wise about His choice. He is also all-knowing and all-wise about the consequences and the noble aims of His commands and legislation. Let us examine some cases. Case 1. Allah says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah, is ordained for you. Is ordained for you Muslims, though you dislike it. You see? Though you dislike it. And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you, and Allah knows, but you don't know. This is verse 2, chapter 2:16. And here we have to remind that the objective of jihad is not for lowly matters, or disputes for chairs, or leadership, or political lowly things. No, jihad so that tawheed prevails and that the earth be purified from the affliction of shirk. Jihad is not for worldly gain, for political prestige, It's not for occupying land. It's not for military expansion. Jihad is the force that stands to support the propagation of Tawheed. It spreads justice on earth. That's the true jihad. So Allah knew that there is a benefit for Muslims in His ordainment of jihad, though they may dislike it. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that, but His slave didn't. This verse caused Muslims to abide by the command of Allah, although it may be difficult for them, and that they should accept His pre-decree, although their selves may dislike it. This is the case. You see, what we mentioned earlier, Allah knew and He is all wise about the consequences and the noble aims of His commands and legislations. And this is the first case we examined. Case 2. Let's take the famous hadith of Al-Istikhara. Whereby the Muslim asks for Allah's guidance in a certain affair. A Muslim is not sure about two matters. Two matters are present before him. He is not sure which one to take. So he resorts to Allah, seeking Allah's help and Allah's guidance to guide him to follow the one which is right and which will be good for him. What is the dua? Let us see the invocation. How did he performs it? The Muslim, he or she, will make wudu, perform the ablution, make two rak'ah, pray two rak'ahs for Allah, and then make the dua, this following dua. O my ilah, O my Allah, Ya Allah, Allahumma, I ask your guidance due to your knowledge and appeal to you to help me, meaning give me power, due to your ability, and ask you from your great favor, for you are able and I am not. You know and I don't know, and you know all hidden matters. O Allah, if you know that this matter, and you name it, is good for me in my deen, in my Islam, my livelihood, the aftermath of my matter, or for my life in the hereafter, it's short term or it's long term, then decree it for me, make it easy for me, and bestow blessings for me in it. And if you know that this matter is bad for me in my deen, in my Islam, my livelihood, the aftermath of my matter, it's short term and it's long term, then keep this matter away from me, and turn me away from it, and decree for me the good, look at this, and decree for me the good wherever it is. Not only that, there comes the thing which is very difficult, and then content me with it. This is collected by Al-Bukhari and others. The slave of Allah needs to know what benefits him in his livelihood. Is he able to achieve it? Is it going to be easy or not? Certainly Allah taught him from what he has taught man. So the knowledge is that of Allah. The slave's ability is from Allah. Otherwise, he is weak on his own. Making matters easy is also from Allah. If he does not make things easy for his slave, they will turn difficult. The Prophet ﷺ directed the Muslim to the essence of worship, asking guidance from the one who is all-knowing about the aftermath of every task, its details, its good and bad, seeking the help and ability from the all-able, asking his favor by making the matters easy for him. If Allah guides him due to his knowledge, helps him due to his ability, and makes it easy for him due to his favor, then he needs Allah's help to preserve his guidance and to bestow blessings in it, so that his matter becomes firm and grow. The person requests that Allah makes him content with his choice, otherwise Allah may choose something that the person dislikes, not knowing that it is good for him. Abdullah bin Umar said, the person asks Allah for guidance, and Allah gives him. However, he turns angry on Allah only to look at the aftermath and find that Allah indeed has chosen what's good for him. So this matter, which shall happen according to Allah's defined pre-decree, is sheltered by two things, by istikhara, making this salah and this prayer before, meaning before this matter is manifested, and it is also sheltered by content, which is after its manifestation. Part of the success that Allah bestows upon His slave is to guide him to make this istikhara before the manifestation of the pre-decree, and to contentment after it happens. Part of Allah's humiliation of His slave is when he does not make istikhara before the pre-decree occurs and does not become content with it after it happens. This is misery for the slave. Let's look now case 3. The third case, the year of Al-Hudaybiyah. The year of Al-Hudaybiyah. This is the sixth year of Hijrah. The mushriks imposed severe conditions on the Muslims to bring forth a treaty. Although many of the close companions of the Prophet ﷺ did not want a treaty to be signed because of the really severe conditions on the Muslims in it, the Prophet ﷺ ordered otherwise. They were sad, especially Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet ﷺ, however, assured them that they would enter Mecca and perform tawaf circulation around the Kaaba. You see, the mushriks didn't want that to happen. Part of the treaty, part of the conditions rather, if a Muslim from Mecca would leave Mecca, go to the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, he should be sent back to the mushriks. To this degree. So this year of the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, when the pagan Arabs of Quraysh prevented the Prophet ﷺ and his companions from entering Mecca to perform Umrah, to perform the tawaf, the circumambulation or circulation around the Kaaba, instead the mushriks, the pagans, imposed severe conditions on the Muslims, and the Prophet ﷺ accepted them, being confident that Allah would not abandon him, and that he sallallahu alayhi, and he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will grant him victory. Allah knew that the treaty of Hudaybiyah was the beginning of a victory. Most Muslims around the Prophet ﷺ didn't know of this. To the contrary. فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا فَجَعَلَ مِن دُونِ ذَلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. As in Surah Al-Fath, Quran 48 to 27, He knew what you knew not, and He granted besides that a near fath, a near victory. This verse is the same victory referred to by the revelation that came down on the Prophet ﷺ on his way back to Medina with his companions, overwhelmed with grief and distress at not being allowed by the mushriks to proceed to Mecca. The revelation came reading, Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina. Verily we have given you, O Muhammad, fathan mubina, a manifest victory. Due to this treaty, many good things regarding the manifestation of Islam and retreat of disbelief took place. People came nearer and entered into discussions with one another. Muslims were able to openly speak about Islam with proofs and evidence. There came within the fold of Islam in 2 years between the date of the treaty and the breaking of the truce by the polytheists as many as the people who entered before. Entered into Islam so many. The arrogance and animosity of Quraysh, the people of Shirk, on one hand, and the acknowledgement that Muhammad ﷺ and his companions had the right to visit the Kaaba, a right that was open for everyone since the time of Ibrahim, on the other hand, drove many people to accept Islam. None of the above was clear and known to the companions. Here is the point. None of the above was clear and known to the companions. Allah knew all about it, and that is why He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, called it fath, called it victory. The Prophet ﷺ said, is it a fath? When he was asked, he said, yes, it was a victory. Case 4, the case with Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the tongue of Yusuf, Ya abati, hada ta'wilu ru'yaya min qabl, qad ja'alaha rabbi haqqa, wa qad ahsana bi idh akhrajani min as-sijn, wa ja'a bikum min al-badwi min ba'di an nazagha ash-shaytanu bayni wa bayni akhwati, inna rabbi latif, inna rabbi latifun lima yasha', innahu huwa al-alim al-hakim. In Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 100. Oh my father, Yusuf is talking to his father, telling him, oh my father, this is the interpretation of my dream of the old, when he dreamt about, you know, the stars and the moon, etc. My Rabb Allah has made it come true. He was indeed good to me. Then he took me out of the prison and brought you all here out of the Bedouin life after the devil had sown enmity between me and my brothers. Certainly, in all of that, my Rabb is most courteous and kind unto whom he wills. Truly he, only he is all-knowing, all-wise. See, being the most courteous, Allah tells that he knows about the most delicate situations and that he sends his mercy in hidden ways not known to us. One notices that Joseph, was apparently tested by some trials, like leaving his parents, imprisonment, being sold as a slave, sexual harassment, etc. What is hidden, however, is that Allah made of these trials a blessing, victory and success for him in this world and in the hereafter in ways not known to Yusuf. Similarly, calamities and staying away from lusts and unlawful desires are roads that bring short-term and long-term happiness. The Prophet ﷺ said, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. The paradise is surrounded by hardships and the hellfire is surrounded by temptations, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said. So all of Allah's pre-decree is good. Those who give thanks to Allah and endure His trials are the ones who truly realize His pre-decree. Case 5. Examine the story of Prophet Moses sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Pharaoh of Egypt was conducting his massacres of the children of Israel, Allah's decree was manifesting itself by raising the baby Musa in the Pharaoh's house and in his own bed. Just contemplate this. When Fir'aun was conducting his massacres of the children of Israel, Allah's decree was manifesting itself by raising the baby Musa in the Pharaoh's house and in his own bed. The Pharaoh raised his own enemy and his own destruction. Later, Moses was chosen as a messenger of Allah and came to establish the deen of Allah in Egypt. When the Pharaoh rejected Allah's deen, Musa and his followers were ordered to leave. This was the moment of destruction for the Pharaoh and his army, while Musa and his people were watching their victory over that tyrant. All of these cases mentioned demonstrate that Allah does whatever He wants to manifest the good and perfectly wise aftermath, all in hidden ways that are not comprehended by us. His perfect mercy and favors, subhanahu wa ta'ala, are implicitly realized in the ways He sees fit. Allah knew all about the conditions and affairs of His slaves before their creation. He knew what they would do and what they would end up as. He then brought them to this world to manifest His knowledge as He already knew it. He tests them with trials, and by His commands, do and don't do, by good and evil, they will then either deserve His praise or His blame, His reward or His punishment, all according to their deeds and their qualities, which are identical to what He knew in His foreknowledge about them. They didn't deserve His reward or punishment while it was still knowledge with Him, until what is known to Allah becomes manifest by their own doing. He sent His messengers and brought down His books and legislated His laws to cut off all of their excuses and to establish evidence against them, lest they say, how could you inflict punishment on us based only on your knowledge about us, which is not part of our earning and ability. So his reward or punishment occurs as his knowledge is manifested in their actions. His knowledge in them becomes apparent via his trials and testing. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala tries them by his commands and prohibitions, by the temptations of the world, with their desires, are they able to control them or not, with his favors and calamities, with one another, as with Adam and Iblis, Adam and the Shaitan, showing that he subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew about each of them. That's why he said to the angels, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know that which you don't know. This kind of testing and trials continued in the offspring of Adam and shall continue up to the day of resurrection. He tried the prophets with their respective nations and vice versa. He told his slave and friend Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that he was trying him and making of him a trial for others. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً, and we have made some of you as a trial for others. In an authentic narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us the story of three men of the children of Israel whom Allah willed to test. A leper, a blind man, and a bald-headed man. As for the blind man, Allah restored for him his eyesight and bestowed upon him a lot of wealth, sheep, plenty of sheep. The blind man acknowledged Allah's favor upon him and faithfully answered to the test, which came in the form of a request for help. The leper was cured, and the bald man was given good hair, but were also given a lot of wealth. However, they failed the test because they were ungrateful and renounced their former status, claiming that they got their property through inheritance, quote, end of quote. The test revealed their true natures, which were already in the foreknowledge of Allah. See, the slave of Allah cannot escape all that which Allah has bestowed upon him from his favors, be it in this life or in the hereafter. That's why Allah has condemned the person who attributes to himself what Allah has bestowed upon him. On this Allah says, فَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَانَا ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلْنَاهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Listen, when Allah touches man, he could call upon us for help. Then when we offer him a favor from us by rescuing him from harm, he would say, only because of knowledge I possess or deserve to possess that I achieved it. He did not recognize Allah's favor upon him. And that if this was his fitna, his trial, in order to see whether he would be grateful or not. In the same ayah Allah says, بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةً, it is only a trial. In the same verse, بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةً, it's only a trial. The amount of being grateful is to confess that Allah alone deserves to be thanked for his favors. In summary, therefore, for what we have spoken, the rank of pre-decree as related to Allah's knowledge manifests itself in various ways, demonstrating Allah's attributes and actions as he sees fit. This is the conclusion. This is the conclusion of all that passed. All that passed came to emphasize this conclusion with evidences. Now the second rank of Qadr, and this is the Kitaba, the writing. The Kitaba, Al-Kitaba. I will repeat it, yes. The conclusion of the first rank, the rank of Al-Ilm, the knowledge of Allah. The rank of pre-decree as related to Allah's knowledge, we're talking about what Allah's knowledge now in relation to the pre-decree. The rank of pre-decree as related to Allah's knowledge manifests itself in various ways, demonstrating Allah's attributes and actions as he subhanahu wa ta'ala sees fit, meaning according to his wisdom. This is the conclusion of the first rank, al-ilm, and its relationship to pre-decree.